We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up the Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey guys, this is Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs. I'm excited to announce that my show, The Compound, is now part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Join me and my teammates Dakota Mekas and Zach Short. This week, we welcome Cubs first baseman, World Series champion Anthony Rizzo to The Compound. Check it out. Subscribe. The Compound on the Blue Wire Podcast Network.
Light years is so fucking crazy to me. It's so crazy. Light years is so fucking crazy to me. It's so crazy.
Light years, Andy. We, little technical difficulty.
Truly light years.
Because, truly. Because Andy's, incapable, you know. You would think, big as Andy is a tech pro, he knows how to use technology.
30 minutes to try to figure out. I'm going to blame it on Zoom. Fuck Zoom. You know what? I'm going to blame it on these mics. I'm like LeBron. I'm just going to blame everybody else but myself.
You have no help?
No help.
No Unreal. Help from Zoom?
Actually, you know what? Ben's on with us right now. We did have help. The moment that producer Ben jumped on, we actually had it fixed within, I want to say, like 30 seconds. So we had the Steph Curry. We had the MVP.
Or is he the Chris Bosh, where we don't give him any credit, but bloggers are like, this show doesn't work without Ben.
Yeah, it's true. That Chris Bosh is a good one. Maybe like a Draymond Green, who's like underrated now by guys like you, just because he was so good back then. And now it's just like, you know, the first thing you want to do is flip his ass out.
No, I'm not. Let's be clear.
You would trade Draymond for Robert Covington, you know, if that came to fruition.
Yeah, because Covington's better now.
Oh, my God. This is not where we're going to start.
I don't know how many years we have left in Draymond. I think you're living in the past. Me and friend and confidant Ricky G agree that, you know, Draymond's time has passed.
Confidant. We are not.
I'm just joking to the listeners. But you know what? I love Light Years listeners. We got a lot of good questions today. But we have to start with the most pressing news, which is, will the NBA be playing games in Orlando?
Will the NBA ever come back and play basketball again? Sam, did you see what Adam Silver said on TV? Literally like an hour ago, he got on TV. Did you hear what he said?
I did. And that might be the most, I don't want to say aggressive, but most like assertive he's been in his entire tenure. That and the, I take it back. He was pretty assertive with
Sterling.
With Sterling. And yeah. And to be honest, he was assertive defending Daryl Morey, just no one cared. So it's kind of wild. Like he took like a passionate defending Maury free speech stance and just no one covered it. And yeah, it was the weirdest thing to me. I feel like that's, you know, I feel like you would, you'd want to cover that, but nah.
I mean, you know, when China says you got to do something, you got to do something. They're not the greatest freedom of press, freedom of speech country. But the dialogue that I want to go into, so quote by Adam Silver, I should say that a lot of people have pointed to the financial component of this, and Damien, I know, is coming on. He can speak to this. The incremental difference between at this point playing and not playing isn't nearly as great as people think, especially given the expenses of putting this on. And then he goes on and on about some other bullshit. But I want to stop there. What do you think about that? Because that is news to me, that he's saying the expenses are going to cover mostly the benefits of the monies that they're going to make. I don't know if that's true.
I have heard some things that tell me it is very expensive to put this on, because while you think Disney being a partner of the NBA would give them everything for free, I don't. I'm being led to believe that's not what's going on. So they're going to have to pay for the accommodations of every player and all this stuff. But ultimately, like, those TV contracts are probably bigger than anything. So I don't want to call BS on it, but partial. It's like a political statement is the way I read it. It's like maybe they're not making all the money, but there's money to be made by putting this on.
Yeah, Adam Silver is a lawyer, as those who don't know, shocking. He also says, and I also think in terms of social justice issues, it will be an opportunity for NBA players in the greater community to draw attention to these issues, because the world's attention will be on the NBA in Orlando, Florida, if we are able to pull this off. So I tend to think that – I tend to call bullshit on all of this. To me, it is in alignment with you, just Adam Silver being politically correct while not saying like, maybe what the NFL would do, just you know what, everyone.
Well, he doesn't have the power the NFL does. So I will give Silver this: the players' union in the NBA is far more powerful than the union in the NFL, and he has to, I don't want to say coax them into it, but he has to build consensus in a way that, you know, Roger Goodell does not. So I get what he's doing in terms of bringing attention. You know, you could argue either way. I feel like do people really want to hear you and me arguing whether we think it brings more attention or less if they play it? Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like people have their minds made up whether they think it's better or worse in terms of causes. Yeah. So
I could see
both points on it, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell people how to, you know, it's something people are passionate about. So it's not something I'm going to say like, no, you're wrong.
Apparently, it's something that Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard are passionate about. So that's been the stance this week for those that haven't really been caught up with the everyday minutia of what the players are saying to everyone. I think Kyrie and Dwight came out and kind of said, hey, like, well, let's focus on, you know, protesting systemic racism and everything that's going on in the world. Let's not worry too much about basketball. And Woj just reported that, hey, look, you know, Kyrie's kind of got a bunch of people behind him on this. And so it's, I don't know, like, black or white kind of thing. Like, do you think the season's going to happen?
I do think all of this. I do think it's going to happen. I don't think we should assume everyone's going to play. And so that's where we get into this. You know, if two players from each team decide they don't want to play, I'm picking like an arbitrary number. That would be like, you know, 15% of each roster. How are we going to value that long term? But I wanted to get into something I think is a little more interesting,
that's not good. I mean,
it's not. I mean,
players not playing, that's a major red flag. I mean, you could still have.
I mean, we have players going in every direction. We had Ed Davis coming out saying, you know, it's easy for Kyrie to say that he has X, Y, and Z max contract. For those of us who don't, this really matters financially, and it is worth saying. I think I saw it reported. Players wouldn't get 35% of their salaries if they don't complete the season, something in that range. So you're talking about one third of whatever is reported that players make that would be withheld from them if they don't play. So maybe it's not a big issue for Dwight or Kyrie, but for, you know, kind of rank and file guys who are probably not going to make enough money to retire for the rest of their life. That is kind of a bigger deal, right?
Yeah. Just kind of quick Google search. Ed Davis making $7 million this year. So it's not like he's a $1 million minimum contract.
Yeah. So we're talking about him making only like $4.5 to $5 million instead of $7 million. Yeah. So, you know, people make different decisions. We also have Kendrick Perkins saying Kyrie is doing this because he was told he couldn't go into the bubble. He thinks it's not, he's basically questioning Kyrie's intent, which I don't want to touch. Cause
classic,
I like
classic Perk.
Yeah, exactly. But beyond Perk, Windhorse also came out today and kind of made some mention of there's a lot of questions about how the bubble works. And I want to say Matt Barnes even said something to that effect.
So we can't let this shit go. Like LeBron and CP, Kyrie needs to quit bullshitting, because what I heard was Kyrie wanted to go to Orlando to support his team. They didn't let him. So then he flipped the script talking about, I'm going to give up everything. Bro, you can give up everything and go do the Meyer Moore shit if you really want to. But at the same time, sitting out without a cause or a purpose defeats the purpose. And then it also divides us. You know what I mean? So they all got to get on the same page, open up that communication and understand the moment. And I know the people at the top of the movement understand it, but everyone else has to buy it. And I respect people don't want to play because if it's COVID and you're putting your family at risk, I get that. But if it's for the movement of the country right now, we have to take charge of this.
It seems to me that everyone's looking for this to be like a one issue thing. And the reality is we have a pandemic. We have social protests and unrest going on. Every player has a different feeling on their priorities. Like we've heard CJ McCollum say he's worried about the health risk. I'm sure he's not the only one. I'm sure there's a lot of players like that. There's other players who are thinking about protesting as more important than just completing this pandemic playoff, whatever you want to call it, right? Yep. And what you're really left with is like, you want it to be like a X or Y. It's like play or not play, but really it's like, there's like 8 different issues going on and everyone has different priorities on it and what they view as the most important. And that's tricky.
To me, it reeks of also think about it this way, right? Like Kyrie's pretty much the same age as me. And then a couple of years, like Dwight's the same age as you. Right. And a lot of the times, like a
couple more defensive players a year than me.
Yeah, he might be a little better. Kyrie's a little better handled than me. But between you and I, like if we didn't need to see our parents ever, like, right, for the next year, we probably wouldn't care if we got. Well, I should say we wouldn't be as worried about Corona. Me and you, we still see our parents.
They all live in the city. Like neither of us have pre-existing conditions. That's another factor. So there's NBA players with pre-existing conditions. Like it can be the most we minor thing. Right. Yeah, exactly. Someone's diabetic. Doesn't matter. Right. You know.
So I think when I say that, it feels like to me that with some of these players, it's they don't think of Corona as a thing. They probably think of Corona as like, oh, we're going to be in that bubble and we're just going to be able to do whatever we want. Which, if you read the guidelines, which maybe they didn't, it is not you go to Orlando, Sam, and you get to do whatever you want. It is not that. It is they are
no,
in
the
real
the
bubble.
The more I dig into it, the more I'm like, look, man, I think I could do it for like millions of dollars, but it's really tough. Like they have to stay in a hotel room they're assigned to for minimum 7 weeks, because there's like a 3-4 week camp. Like I'm talking if you're a first round elimination, like you're John Morant, you know, you're on the Grizzlies. If you make the playoffs, you're probably going to get bounced by the Lakers in 5. You're still there seven weeks.
Yeah, 2 months.
You can't even go out for a meal.
Yeah.
Forget partying. You can't go. You just can't like you can't have your friend like if I was in the bubble, I can't be like, Andy, just come meet me for like dinner one night. Yep. That stuff can't happen. And so I think a lot of this is like grappling with that too.
So and you really like look at Ezekiel Elliott, who got leaked today that he had Corona. Like, these guys are throwing parties and hanging out with each other and working out during this quarantine. They're not quarantining. Let's just be honest. These players aren't quarantining. They're most likely hanging out with their friends if they don't have families. I'm sure Steph is quarantining, but like, they look at this bubble and it is a whole different ball game, man. And so I think that a lot of them probably just thought it was just this, they could just live the same lifestyle. And it's not, because now it's not about, hey, if you get Corona, if KD gets Corona and the season is suspended, doesn't matter, right? Like, he'll recover. But if LeBron gets Corona when this janky postseason thing is going on, the season might end. Like, right. They can't screw this up. So.
And I still think we're not talking about the, you know, there's certain, you know, there are probably players who think it's just wrong to play right now. So, I mean, there's a confluence of factors, and, you know, it's tricky. I think it's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to feel about it when it happens. Like, superficially, you, me, the Light Years listeners, most people are just going to be happy to watch something, but we might not take it all that seriously. We might view it as like a fancy summer league.
Wow, I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's a fair point. Just because, you know, especially if you don't have players that are playing, especially key players. I mean, even Dwight Howard's a key player
for the league. Yeah. He's been excellent for them. I mean, Avery Bradley's apparently not going to play.
Yep.
But you never know. I mean, people say these things and then they change their mind.
LeBron's going to get him.
There's a lot of moving parts. I mean, we saw Patrick Beverley yesterday tweet out something which is kind of a passive aggressive shot at LeBron. By the way, shout out passive aggressive at the passive aggressive king. But
it's the only way you can get to him. But I will say this though, it has gotten a lot more. I find it is entertaining, or like it is interesting to see what's going on behind the scenes, because I think a lot of the times people do think that a lot of these players are aligned from LeBron James to Ed Davis, and most of the times they're not, right? Just because
it's no different than everyone loves to compare pro athletes to like your regular 9-to-5 job, and a lot of those comparisons are kind of silly, you know, but it is true. You're dealing with different players with different financial expectations, different lifestyles, different goals, quite frankly, different statures, you know, like what was it? Anthony Davis says, I'm the CEO of my own corporation. Well, you can do that. You're one of the 5 to 10 best players in the league, and you're in a different financial stratosphere than, I don't know, Damian Lee, for example. Damian Lee, who just made an NBA roster on a full contract for the first time, and he's hoping to have at least 5 years of probably full NBA roster, and he's going to make good money, and you know, it's going to be great for him. But you know, he's probably not retiring with that like multi-generational wealth that someone like Anthony Davis or Steph Curry is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
His incentives are different.
What do you think about this? Because the league got on a call, I think a couple weeks ago, they talked about like Steph, like 10 guys, right? Harden was included, AD, and they got on the call and those guys basically unanimously said, hey, we're playing the season. Kyrie wasn't in it. Kyrie's the head of the VP of the players union. And now I'm not saying that Kyrie's doing it as part of a spike thing, but I'm saying like,
it's funny to make that joke.
It is funny. I don't know. But I'm saying like, isn't it interesting that like with the NBA, Silver likes to take into account everyone's opinion, right? All the way from LeBron James.
He's a consensus builder.
Kind of backfiring, though. Kind of backfiring. Isn't it?
You know, no one loves to be more critical of Adam Silver than me, but I'm willing to see how this plays out before I make judgment, because like we said, we're watching what's going on with baseball. We're watching what's going on with the NBA. We're wildly aware. They're not the NFL. They're not, you know, Roger Goodell, Iron Fist, that sort of thing. So you can't rule, like, not every company. I mean, you've worked for multiple companies, the culture of the company. And if the NBA is a company, the culture of the NBA is wildly different than the culture of the NFL.
Right.
And so you can't rule with the same type of leadership.
Somebody asked too, the Sport Prophet, he did ask about the hypocrisy of the player empowerment era and how it's actually about the 1% of the NBA, not the 99%. So we've kind of talked about it a little bit, but I think that it is a fair assessment for people that want to understand, like, these guys, when we talk about the freedom for them to do what they want, and that it's really cool that these players have their own life in their hands, that only applies to the greatest. And like you said, if Damian Lee gets told he has to play basketball, he's playing basketball. Kyrie Irving is kind of in that middle stage. He kind of gets to decide what he wants to do here.
But he's got a signature Nike deal. He has a max deal. He had a previous max deal. He can make a decision to walk away with 150 in the bank right now and decide he doesn't need 300 mil in the bank. You know, he's already reached generational wealth is my point. So
no,
not to question him, not to do anything like that. But you know, he's in a position where he can make financial decisions that a journeyman player, they have more to lose when they do that.
What's up, guys?
Tommy, Tommy, you're not a role player. You're a star.
Sure. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll be a star.
You're Kyrie. You play like Kyrie. You're...
No, I actually played like Steph.
Oh.
That's why I love his game. That's why I love his game, man. Come on now.
What type of hat you got on? Is that Broncos hat?
No, it's a it's a college in Denver. So Metro State University D2. I coached there for a year. So
nice. Yeah, no man. Asians though. No Asians.
No, not a lot of.
Yeah, not in Colorado.
Every dude who can't break anyone off the dribble thinks they're Steph. I know.
That's exactly what it is. That's literally what it is. I just got to pull up before they start guarding me.
All right, we had some requests to bring you on because we're getting into the mailbag segment of this episode.
Okay.
And the first question, I may have got a little Twitter heat for this one.
Sure.
But you asked the question, why do you hate Clay and want to trade him? So let's just back this up.
Sure. I'm going on mute. This is for you guys.
No. You're joining the conversation. I want to preface it right now because, you know, we got to make it a correct show. Everyone's dreaming of Giannis to the Warriors. We have reason to believe Giannis would potentially entertain coming to the Warriors, or the Warriors are at least on the short list of teams who can get him. But we also are aware that the Warriors can't get under the cap. So we're not going to get another KD situation where it's just like clear the cap space. He's coming in.
Yep. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
So totally. It becomes a trade thing. And I've gotten really irritated by these, like, oh, we just give him Wiggins and a couple picks. Like that's going to get it done.
Milwaukee's never doing that. Unless the only way they would ever even consider that is if it becomes an AD situation where he's like, no, I'm leaving no matter what. I'm not playing games. And then they'd have to recoup the value on that. But he's not going to do that. Giannis isn't built like that. He's going to try to, like, he's going to go out swinging. If he does leave Milwaukee, he's going to go out swinging for sure.
So to bring it to Clay, I kind of floated, Warrior fans, if you want Giannis, you kind of have to get comfortable with the idea the only trade package that's going to get it done involves Clay and picks. Draymond, at this point, most of the league doesn't value him outside of Golden State.
He might have less value than Wiggins.
Yeah, he did himself no favors last year. Or actually, no, I take it back. He did himself all favors for himself because he made sure no one's coming in here with a grandfather offer for Draymond.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy's always a step ahead.
Yeah, 100%. When he signed the deal in the summer, I was like, did he really just do that before he might get even like more money next summer? But now looking at it, it's like, dude, thank God he took that deal from his sake because he might have gotten like 4 years, 50 million.
Like, I think if he hit free agency this summer, he'd get like 420.
Mid-level. Yeah. It would be terrible. It would have been awful for him. So yeah, shoot, clutch, man. Rich Paul. Always pulling the strings.
So let's put this question up.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis for Clay and multiple picks.
You do it every time. I'm sorry. Like, I love Clay. He's one of my five favorite players ever.
I thought you were gonna object on this one.
No, I was trolling. I was just I knew people were gonna react to that. No, you do it every time. I love Clay. He's one of my favorite basketball players ever. Literally. I've gotten so much joy watching that guy play for the last 7-8 years, whatever it's been. But Giannis is 25, 26, and he's going to be, at worst, the fifth best player in the league for the next 8 years. That's an absolute worst-case scenario. So you do that every time. And Clay's top 20-ish when he's right, when he's fully healthy. But
go top 10 to 15. Yeah.
Sure. even that, but still, it's not the difference in stars and that tier and like that last tier between star and then super superstar.
Right.
It's humongous. It's a guy who can lead you to a title versus a guy who can't.
I like to put it this way. Would you rather have Paul George, Jimmy Butler, or Kawhi Leonard?
Mm-hmm.
There's this
exactly what it is.
They're all great players, but there is a difference between the first two I listed and the last one I listed. The last one can be the best player in a title team.
Mm-hmm. The first two can do 90% of what he does. 90%. Yeah. But that last 10%, that's the differentiator. That's what makes all the difference in the world between winning a title and losing in the second round.
The first two can be key players on a title team. Mm-hmm. The last guy can be the player on a title team, which is different.
We literally saw that last year in Toronto, and they made some other ancillary moves that made the difference.
Right.
You know, like they added Gasol, which was huge. But they
Siakam got better.
Yes, yeah, Siakam got a ton better, obviously, but they never had a chance to win a title. If DeMar's still on that team, they don't win the title last year. Not a chance in hell. You know, if it's
We'll see it this playoffs. They're an awesome team.
And Siakam's continued to get better. Like he, at the beginning of the year, I thought he had vaulted into the top 10 player conversation. I'm not sure if he's quite there.
I mean, he destroyed Draymond in the NBA finals, which is kind of we needed to see.
Yeah, he absolutely worked him. But because Draymond's at this point, he's not a one-on-one defender anymore. Like, he's not going to be a guy who shuts down somebody one-on-one necessarily.
Fucking Sam brings Tommy on and immediate Draymond.
Disagree with Tommy there. I think Draymond is a good one-on-one defender. Okay. I do not think Draymond is a five. Like, what we saw in, 2016, where it was like, I'm not sure who he's guarding. I think he's guarding all of them.
Everybody.
Like, now he's more like... I mean, it's corny, but you're like, okay, like Iguodala, where it's just like, give him a specific assignment and he will dominate that assignment. Don't expect him to, I don't know, be in five places at once, which is what he was doing for a period of time.
Literally for 2 or 3 years. But I think maybe the defensive personnel in that finals last year kind of like, he was
going
to be a stopgap for everything. Because you're playing fucking Alfonso McKinney 20 minutes a game. Like, Jesus, man.
That was my sorry to cut you off, Andy. I was going to say that was my big take from the finals in the non-KD games was the core can still win.
Yes.
But when you strip everything away from it and kind of have they've been wearing down, it's not you can't just put McKinney, Quinn Cook, and So it's a question of finding the right pieces to put around them.
Exactly. You can't just say Steph and Draymond lift the entire ship. They need a little bit more around them, right? I get what you're saying. I think Draymond can still probably get in AD's head for an entire series and be physical enough with him to where he throws him off. I do get what you're saying. He's definitely not. He's never going to be that guy that he was in 2016 again. That's just reality. Like, he was unbelievable for a couple of years.
Unofficial vote from my friends. I think you are going to find more people than you think that don't want to trade Clay for Giannis. Now, I think it's not, maybe it happens this offseason, maybe 2% chance, maybe 1% chance. So you're going to see Steph, Clay, and Draymond for one more season. And I do think that's what people want to see. There's going to be a part of it where people are going
to
say...
It's easier to come to grips with breaking it up when you've seen it not work.
You got
to... Right now, it's an unknown. Right now,
but it might work.
Yeah.
But it might. That's the thing. It might. Yeah. And the thing where it might work is... And actually, Tommy asked this in the Discord. By the way, subscribe to Light Years Premium. All the proceeds
going to this question.
Are going to all organizations that Blue Wire is donating to this month. But yes. Oh, sorry, Sam. You're going to ask it, but I saw it here. It just popped up. But Tommy asked this one: which of these two potential future Warriors would Steph end up back screening more for? Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka? I thought it was a great question because I personally think that Marc Gasol is the best fit. I think we all. Or at least
I think Sam
is by far the best fit.
Sam, don't you think? Sam, do you think
Ibaka? So let's go with the preface. These are my top two free agent wants, realistic wants. You know,
for sure.
Like, I want them to sign Giannis, but that's not happening.
Either guy would be awesome. It would be a great fit.
Yeah. So this comes down to who do you think complements the core better? And my reason for Ibaka is he's more athletic. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of Draymond's issues in the finals were related to not having a weak side shot blocker. Looney's an excellent positional defender, does his job. That's not what he does. KD, when he's engaged defensively, I mean, he's the same size as AD. When he's engaged defensively, he's bringing over length. He's weak side shot blocking. He's kind of the rim protector in many ways. Like Draymond's more the positional defender and KD was the weak side shot blocker. So we know that works. I also think Ibaka is younger and is he? I think might actually be the right word, but he's in the same age range as Steph and Draymond. So there's that.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
He's obviously not the passer. Like Gasol's passing is, I mean, Steve Kerr's just going to, I mean,
he's going to not,
he's going to cream himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my issue with Ibaka would be Kerr would still like try to make him into a passer and that's not going to go well. He is not a very good passer. He can do a lot of things that are useful, but that's not one of them.
Kurt turned Marquise Chris into a passer. I think he's
okay, that's fair.
I think he's going to do it.
That's fair. He might be
if
able
Kerr
to.
If Kerr has one gift, it's finding ability to turn players into passers. Like he certainly doesn't make guys shooters, which is ironic because he was a shooter.
Make any sense. Yeah.
But like, I mean, I was watching Wiggins make plays I didn't know he was capable of with the Warriors. And that's just kind of a Kerrism. Like I'd rather actually bring in guys who have physical or shooting skills and then Kerr can develop their IQ to at least make simple reads in a system than the opposite.
Yeah, and Ibaka is a more willing shooter for sure. Like Gasol's one of those guys
and
like
a better finisher.
Yeah, and Gasol can shoot it, but like half the time he's like pump faking when there's nobody within 12 feet of him. Like, do we really need another guy who's doing that? I do understand the reasoning.
He's Bogut, who's willing to take threes. He'd rather get 10 assists than score 20 points.
Oh, hey. 100%. He'd rather not shoot if he didn't have to.
He doesn't want to
do the ball.
The guy. And to me, he's a much smarter player than Ibaka. My take
he's just such a better playmaker. There's no way around that.
I just love him. If you get Marc Gasol on the mid-level and you trade, you use the trade exception and or the pick and you get a wing, let's say it's even Marcus Smart, who's not really a wing, but you get someone like that who's a good player, I think that team is immediately a contender. I think if you were to make
you're in the top tier of contenders now,
I'd be cool picking him to win a championship. I think staunchly in that role because I think that you're going to have to close to Marc Gasol. You can run the offense through him. You have him as a rim guy along with Draymond. You can get
former defensive
now.
Player of the year. Former defensive player of the year.
We saw Draymond get destroyed on the boards because he was the only fucking guy. Looney had no chest. Yeah.
I do think both guys help on that, although Gasol probably more so because he's just bigger.
He's just a big motherfucker.
He's
huge. He's humongous.
He's a massive guy.
Although he lost weight.
I do agree that would make them a contender again, but if the rest of the roster fills out right, it comes down to Steph at that point. Is Steph still, you know, top three, top four when he's right? And if he is, then absolutely. You're probably at the very worst, the third best team in the league behind.
You're in the mix. Well,
You have a chance. You have a chance. That's all you
have. Weren't people pissed at you for a Steph take?
Who, me? Probably. Yeah.
We'll go to that in a second. But what I was going to say is, I mean, end of the day, I would take either of them. And we've been focused on Gasol is I kind of think Toronto's going to prioritize Ibaka. It just makes sense. Gasol's 35. Like the biggest criticism of Gasol is he's 35, and that's a real criticism. Like if the Warriors get him and he plays 45 games next year and is kind of Bogut banged up, like we know what their ceiling is, but I mean, it's just one of those. Can you depend on him? I'd rather have the other guy. All that said, though, let's get to your Steph take.
I don't know. Is this even my take? I mean, I don't even know. I've become the resident Steph hater on Warriors Twitter. I don't know how that happened.
It's not even a possible thing if you found a fucking way. So kudos to you.
Look, the reason I'm a Warriors fan is because of Steph. I always had an affinity for the Warriors growing up, but I think I told you guys I didn't have a team growing up, really. I was just kind of a vagabond. I was a Lakers hater. I became a Warriors fan because I was a Steph fan when he was at Davidson. I always liked Nelly Ball and all that stuff, just kind of being a basketball junkie. So I had an appreciation for kind of the Warriors underdog thing, and just obviously we believe was incredible. I remember watching those games, like I think everybody does. That was like a benchmark moment in NBA history. But yeah, I mean, so I guess the question is, would I trade Steph for Giannis? Is that the question we're asking right now?
No, we're not putting that on there.
No, okay. I wouldn't
do that. So
no, why I ask it, because I've seen you talk about Steph's handle. I've seen you talk for a little sure. bit about some the handle of the decline. I think that's where we're going. It's a little bit of some of the decline that I think Warriors fans they don't want to think about. I personally don't want to think about it just because
for
I
sure.
I don't.
He just turned 32, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, 33 next March.
Yep. He'll be 33 next March, and he's not a big guy. That doesn't, in terms of aging, at least in terms of his isolation creation, it doesn't bode well. Now, I think he's still going to be a great scorer because he's changed the way he scores over the last couple of years. Like last year, most of his I've looked it up before. I want to say close to 60% of his threes became catch and shoot, where it used to be flipped. It was 60-40 the other way, off the dribble versus off the catch. So it's kind of flipped on its head. And some of that was playing more of not a secondary role, but a role to let KD handle the ball more. But I think it's also just he's not as like easily able to create off the dribble. So he gets rid of it. He gets off of it. And then he tries to get an open shot cutting off the ball. Point being, I think he can – I mean, he's still going to average 25 plus a game. He's one of the greatest scorers in NBA history. But that being said, that isolation part, like you just need that elite shot creator to win at the highest levels. It's very rare that a team that doesn't have one of those guys wins the title. It's like the 04 Pistons. I guess the 14 Spurs, but it can be done. I'm not saying it can't be done. The road's just going to be a little bit tougher than peak Steph Curry when there's 8 seconds on the shot clock. You just throw it to him, say, get out of the way. And he's going to grab somebody off the dribble and hit a shot. Like,
let me give you my counter. I actually think he's highly capable of still doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm more worried about the physical load that takes on him from this age on, and his ability to stay healthy. If you look back at it, he played 75 plus games from 2012. So basically post the ankle issues to about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, he was relatively healthy, you know, a sprain here, that nothing special other than the 16 playoffs, which, you know, have an asterisk. Yep. But now I'm kind of worried that, like, if you're asking him to carry the load you asked him to carry when he was 28, you're going to have a different injury every 10 games.
Soft tissue injury, something like that. He's going
to
do
it. Yeah, so it's like my issue is not his ability to create off the dribble, because I've watched him enough. When KD wasn't in there, when Draymond's not in there, it takes him like a game and a half to like get that rhythm back with the ball.
Sure.
The numbers are also
and I think
the numbers support. The
I just
support
think I
saying.
Just think like you're asking. Has anyone asked a guard of his size to average 30 a game?
No.
In their mid 30s and contend? No, like Iverson did it, but he was on a 500 team. You know,
yeah,
but
exactly.
I think there's a bit of I look at Chris Paul. I mean, Steve Nash is one we talked about last podcast, but I look at Chris Paul too. Not that the Thunder are championship contenders, but again, the Warriors have better players, you would think, with Clay, Wiggs, Draymond, Gasol, those guys. Yeah, shout out Wiggs. So you would think he has better players around him. So you don't want that team to be a 7-6 seed, but you would think that he can get to that same Chris Paul level.
Chris Paul's actually a great example, because what did Chris Paul average this year?
Like 18 or 19 a game, I want to say. But he had Shea to help him carry the load.
18 and 7.
Yeah.
That's going to be Anthony Edwards, but please.
Played awesome. Yeah. But part of the reason he played awesome was because he could pick his spots. So what the Warriors really want to do, if Steph's going to be the alpha omega of a team, like we're not bringing in a Giannis or like a KD or something, someone who's like of that stature where like Steph's the guy.
Yep.
You need him to resemble the 14-15 Warriors, where Steph really only averaged 24 a game.
He coasted through a lot of games because he could.
Because they were getting like 10 points a game from like seven players. And then, I mean, he was always the man who the ball went to when it mattered, but it wasn't in his hands from the beginning of the game, the whole way through. Like, they weren't like asking him, like, we need you to literally dictate every possession because we have no ability to score without you.
Totally. And that's what they needed him to do last year in the finals. And the guys around him by the end of that series were so bad, he wasn't going to be able to do it. No matter, I mean, maybe even any version of him. But No, I mean, I think part of it is there has been like a little bit of decline of quickness. So I think what that's actually done more so than anything else is made spacing more of a priority. He's right. not able to work through those small, like those small windows as much as he could have. He still can from time to time, but he can't do it as consistently. So I think that's part of the reason why it is super important to get a big man who can shoot next year. Because it'll just provide that extra.
It's not going to be Draymond.
Jesus, no, not a chance in hell.
Well, people talk about a lot of the times like his weaknesses on defense and how they have a team to cover up on defense. What that does is when you cover up with defensive players that don't play great offense, he has to overcompensate. Like LeBron, they don't play defense, especially on those Cavs team, but they have a team that can help them score 30 because they have four shooters and LeBron.
Let's
end with this one. Would you rather surround Steph with a bunch of defenders where you know you're living with the fact that like he's going to tire out because he's going to have to take 25, 30 shots a game, whatever it may be? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather compromise some of that defense or some offense where, you know, it means he can pace himself, but now he's got legs in the fourth.
But it's Steph and Clay no matter what, correct? In either scenario.
I'm discluding adding any sort of like top caliber player.
Okay.
I've gotten to the point, and I've flip-flopped on this, but I've gotten to the point where I think defense is more important. And just in terms of if you have that one guy, especially if it's a guy like Steph, who's more of a perimeter creator, I'd rather surround him with defense. Because if you surround him with a top three defense, your floor is so high. Your floor is so incredibly high. Right. You're basically guaranteeing yourselves, at worst, a second round playoff appearance, probably conference finals. And I mean, look at the 0-1 Sixers. And that's an easy example to use. But it was basically just AI, go score. That team was
Goons.
One of those games was and Goons. That one of those games was on. It was game one. It was on like a couple of days ago.
Right.
That team was so bad offensively. But AI was good enough to lift them to the finals. You'd obviously want
And they were good enough defensively where they're like, all right, we're holding you to 80.
Yep.
So we'll just figure a way to score 81.
Exactly. And I mean, part of the reason the Warriors have been so successful is obviously defense, but those early teams especially. They were so good with their hands. They were so good creating chaos and turnovers that you got Steph and Clay in a transition constantly. And that's where they get open looks. They start to get hot. Now it goes from a 2-point lead to a 17-point lead in a minute and a half. You know, that's what they were so good at. So I would, in a perfect world, I'd want to try to recreate that. I just don't know if there's an avenue to being that good defensively again. I think they can probably get the top 10 with the right moves, which is good enough. You can win a title like that. But they're never going to be – you know, peak Draymond, peak Iguodala, peak Bogut, peak whoever else, peak Clay defensively.
I think it's just not realistic to get there. Yeah, but obviously I think that is the best way, especially if you have Steph and Clay, just two greatest shooters of all time. But
just put defense around them.
But they are, I think they're kind of, they have no choice. They got to thread the needle. They got to try to do both.
I think they're still going to be a top three offense next year for what it's worth. As long as they get a modicum of shooting around those guys, just a little bit more, I think they're going to be a top three offense.
They'll go to Olynyk. And they'll be fine. Tommy, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh, thanks for having me
on, buddy.
Always fun. Stuff. Always fun. Let's do it.
Especially when we have games in 2022.
We'll see. All right, bro. All right, let me do this quick read. Bet Online, there is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back. Bet Online is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all of UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. The Discord channel, they've been telling me to watch soccer, Sam, so maybe I'll get on that.
I've been watching some soccer. Yeah. I like soccer.
Turkish league or something? I don't know what it was. It's good.
German league.
German league. So German league soccer, you give it on that. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. So looking for something else other than sports, you can also do casino games. They've got hundreds of those, poker tournaments, prop bets to check out. I would highly recommend doing that and not going to casinos in Vegas where you can get the Rona. So visit betonline.ag. Use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. I kind of never know, you know, how many listeners we have. I don't look at the numbers. But when when you throw out a tweet,
and billions, ask
for bajillions. When you look at, there are millions of us. When you ask for questions, and then I see 100 notifications, I think to myself, yeah, we got some good listeners.
We have a bunch of good questions, and
makes me happy.
let me start with them. So,
oh boy.
First off, friend of the show, Vic asks if you, grew a beard. Can you let the listeners who don't get to see your face like me know what's going on with the facial hair?
So Sam has seen the corn stash that I grew the first month of quarantine.
It was, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty disturbing. Like if I got arrested,
Megan's Law.
Yeah. Like I should have gotten arrested the moment I walk out of the house. So that was bad. I can never grow a beard. I think Sam didn't know me way back then. I did grow out a beard. It was like straight pubes coming out of my chin. Not great. But now I've got long hair. So people saw it on Twitter. Now I've got the flowing long hair coming down, but with a fade. So it looks kind of weird, right? But you know, it's a top knot. The top knot's coming back, Sam. You've seen that before.
Anyway, next question. from also friend of the show, Grant Liffman. If you had to replace Andy with either Drew or myself, who would you choose and why? Andy, same question in replacing Sam.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Grant. Do I want to replace you with Grant or Drew? I think I'm going to go with Drew because wow. I think Drew does more back end work, more homework. Basically, I want someone who will actually put the syllabus together, will put the outline together and record. No offense to Grant. He's, you know, I don't know. For all I know, Grant does all of that. I'm just assuming Drew does.
So let me take you behind the scenes of what happens in the preparation of every week's Light Years podcast. So we record maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday, maybe Monday. Never know until, you know, maybe a couple hours beforehand. I let Sam decide when we record. And then
you let me decide.
And then I do absolutely nothing. You know, Monday night comes around. Sam sends a syllabus, if you will, like he said, of 10 topics and says, Andy, I just updated the doc. Go ahead and update it. I look at my phone. Maybe I respond. Then a couple hours later, I go, yeah, Sam, I added one thing. We had about 11 links and topics today. I added one of them, and that was enough. And that's how Light Years get started. And then I tell them, hey, I'll do the read. And it's about it. And then we take 30 minutes to figure out the tech. So that's how Light Years gets done. That's how the sausage gets made. I would actually choose Grant. You know, when you were saying that, like it worked out.
I knew you were going to choose the opposite of whoever I chose because ultimately they're both our guys. We got to show them both love.
I just feel like Grant would just bullshit about he would just be with me bullshitting about nothing for an hour. See, the thing is, I don't know if it would be a good show. Like, I don't know if people would like it. I think I would like it. I don't know if people would like listening to it, you know? So it would just be fun talking to Grant. I just don't know.
We're doing the crossover episode in a bar in the marina. whenever we're allowed to go in bars, you know,
it's open. By the way, Drew, actually, I don't know if you want to pick Drew because talk about not understanding how it works. That guy might take a few hours just to start a podcast.
I think Drew knows what he's doing. I think he just plays it off. He's already figured out like the quintessential dad vibe of like pretending you don't know anything to get out of things.
Set the expectations low. All right, what's next? Oh, do we have a Pearl Jam question?
From SoCal J, friend of the show. Do you prefer Nirvana or Pearl Jam? First off, I can't hear Pearl Jam without thinking of Bill Simmons.
Correct.
And it's funny, but I'm going to go with Pearl Jam.
Do you listen to both bands? Let me ask you that first before you go into it.
I know both bands well enough. I think Pearl Jam has more staying power for me. Or maybe I just listen to Bill Simmons. I don't know. Hard to say.
I don't know
either. Neither of them are in my regular rotation. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. So did your dad listen to 80s music? Like American? Like not really. Music?
Not really. Yeah.
So my dad did. He came to America in the 80s. And when he was in the military, that's all he listened to. Funny thing is, though, he didn't listen to Pearl Jam or Nirvana. Maybe that's 70s. I don't know. But what 90s. I grew up listening on, that's 90s. What I grew up listening on was
by the time I was born, which was the 90s. So my favorite was essentially the Cars.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cars.
Nice.
Elite. Love the Cars. Billy Idol. Okay. Right up there. A little bit of Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd's great. I have uncles who love Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd's a good one. It's Comfortably Numb is like one of my favorite all-time songs. But I would say like those would probably be the top one.
Not to disclose up on my pops. My pops is more of a mixture of he loves the old school Frank Sinatra.
Ooh.
Just smoking a stogie, listening to Sinatra. Yep. And the parents in general love kind of the late 70s, early 80s, Michael Jackson party vibe type of music. So that's more in line with when they were, you know, in our age range though. So that's part
Frank Sinatra. Wow. Classy. See, my dad, not classy. That's how I go. That's how I become who I am. So it works out perfectly, but I'll go with the Cars. They're my favorite. All right. What we got next?
I got this one from Franny Wagon, Chris Francis. Since baseball may not play this season, which current MLB players would you draft to which NBA teams? So I'm gonna simplify this. Which MLB players do you think are the best hoopers?
You want to go first?
The obvious answer is probably like Aaron Judge. He's 6'8". He's huge. I'm just assuming he knows how to at least just back someone down with his size.
How about like a profile of a player? I think a profile of a player would be because he's like Aaron Judge. It's like, I don't know how well he can move. Right. So it's like, to me, it's like, I would want to pick the shortstop or the center fielder. That's like
athletic, quick guard vibes. Yep. You're like, all right, I don't know. He might not make a lot of shots. He might be inefficient, but he's at least got the athleticism to disrupt some things.
Like, I'm looking up Mookie Betts right now. The only problem with Mookie Betts is he's 5'9". So, I don't know. How about your guy, Laureano? Let me look up how tall he is.
Laureano's listed 5'11". He's like 5'8". So, I don't know. He's like 5'9", 5'10".
But hand eye, I think of like a shortstop. I think of like the best shortstop in the leagues. Like, I think those guys will make
great third base. All the best infielders are third baseman now. So,
and then is it racist if I don't want to pick the white guy? You know, like, I don't know.
You taking Altuve? Altuve taking picking guys up like Beverly, 92 feet.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'd go with like Vladimir Guerrero or Fernando Tatis.
You know, well, Tatis a good call. Vladito is he's got to lose a little weight.
Vladito. I think he texted that the other day. I was like,
you never heard
that? How about Mike Trout? Yeah, no.
Trout's an athlete. I don't know if he can hoop. I know he can golf.
Really?
I know he can hit things far. I know there was a video that went viral of him at Topgolf just driving at like 400 yards. Ooh. I'm like, yeah, well. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, yeah, if someone can just launch home runs, they should be able to figure out how to launch a golf ball pretty quickly.
That makes sense. $33 million that he makes a year. So he's only 28. He's 6'2". So he's same age as me. Actually, his birthday is almost the same as me. 8-time All-Star, 3-time. So he's the best player. He's a Hall of Famer. Best player in the league by far.
I would actually feel better about him playing like football. Like maybe playing a linebacker, ooh, tight end, something like that.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's see. What other baseball players?
You're not a fan. You don't think Brandon Crawford would make a good
What year are we in?
I don't think any year it matters with Brandon Crawford. I guess he was never that good.
At least he was an athletic, like, plus defender for a while. But
yeah.
All right, we're gonna move this forward one more from our guy Kev. Growing up, who was the one smarter immigrant kid your parents would constantly compare you to?
Oh. By the way, he asked a question earlier about MCAT or LSAT. I went MCAT. Do you agree with that?
No.
You're more, you think an LSAT is more.
Oh, you think I agree with the degree that's about arguing? Come on.
No, he's asking which one is more, or which one is better. Which one is better to.
That's my point. One sets you up for law school. One sets you up for medical school.
Well, I guess you can't lose either way. I think for me, it's just law school is a lot of work and there's just not a lot of money coming out of it.
Medical school is not a lot of work?
and
both are a lot of work, but I think there's more money in medical school, though I guess it depends.
Debatable
what school you're going to, but I think here's
or how far you get along in the degree.
That's med school is tough, but here's the thing. I think that if
you get into more debt medical school,
Can go into any medical school and become a doctor and make a fair amount of money. You cannot go to a top 100 law school and think you can come out and get like a 200-300K corporate lawyer degree job. So I think that's
what you can go into private practice either way and be fine though, eventually.
I am not doing either one. Right. Okay. So my question, immigrant kid. My parents weren't so much, they didn't really do the comparison thing, but you can usually tell when they're super nice. So my buddy who actually went to medical school in New York, who's now a doctor, my mom.
That's the way my parents did it too, where because they didn't want to make you feel bad, but they let you know that was the favorite of your friends.
By far. They would be like, oh, like, what are you doing? How's school? How's this? I'm like, mom, what the fuck? You've never talked to me like that before in your life. But I love him. He's like my best friend. But it's always funny because he, classic Asian dude. He knew he wanted to be a doctor when he was in middle school. You know, that type of guy.
I envy people like that. That's just right? Awesome. If you have that kind of, if you know, and then you have the drive to finish through it. So shout out to everyone who does that. Also, shout out to all healthcare workers with the pandemic and everything. Our guy Sheed, right, still printing out masks, donating them. I just got a mask. They're great. And you know, it's not going away anytime soon. And I feel like everyone forgot the pandemic existed for about a couple of weeks there.
It is. It is not very hard to wear a mask. Sam wears a mask. I wear a mask. It's not hard.
I get annoyed because I overheat, but whatever. It's a small price.
Sam is a mouth breather. All right, next one. Or do you have a story?
I was just going to go cousins. I have specific cousins who, you know, my parents didn't do anything, but it was just, you know, you could tell the pressure from the cousin was coming on because they're getting their doctorates at, you know, high-end schools and that sort of thing. And it's like, okay, well, I need to pull my act together.
I know what you did, though. I know how you combated it. You basically just said, hey, I'm taller and better looking. I know that's what you did. I just know that's what you did. My cousins did pretty well, too. So very similar. Very similar story.
We got more questions from the Discord chat. From Mike Mikus. I sent this forever, and you guys missed it. But what player from the Dubs dynasty run would have been best to replace KG and Uncut Gems? Did you see Uncut Gems?
Yes.
When did you see it? I actually did podcast with Kyle Bandujo, who's on the Blue Wire Network. It's a sports movie podcast. We just did it on Uncut Gems. It'll be out in like a week, I think. You get all my thoughts on that movie there.
I saw it on vacation. Remember when I was in Japan in February? It was out on Netflix in Asia. So I was just chilling at night before I went to sleep and I watched it, and it's a good movie.
It's excellent. It's good.
Draymond Green. Come on.
Jalen Green's not a warrior.
Draymond Green
is a warrior though. Jalen Green may be a warrior next year.
He may be a warrior.
Yes, I don't even like. I'm trying to think of. First off, Steph's a no. I can't even imagine Steph doing.
No charisma. No personality.
Steph pretending he's in trance with this gem. Like, no, it's not working. Clay's an interesting one, but Clay would be too goofy because you just kind of Clay looking at this like gem. You just kind of think it's funny.
You'd laugh.
Wouldn't think it's a. You wouldn't find it believable. Draymond is basically mini KG in many ways. Passion on the court, passion off the court, just overall vibe. I could see Draymond doing it. I could see Draymond befriending a random jeweler and like kind of like being friendly with him in that way. And I could see Draymond being inspired by a random object and just having absurd games, you know?
maybe it wouldn't be all post-ups. It'd be more like, oh, Draymond's in the zone defensively, but the concept's the same.
I was going to say, the videos where they show KG knocking down fadeaway jumpers, what are we showing for Draymond? Just locking up people up, you know, just blocks.
Just 14 steals.
Who I think might be a dark horse good one is probably Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
He's not on the Warriors.
Because he's underrated hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, and he would probably he would make a little bit more like a philosophical, maybe a little bit like a little
right,
bit
right.
Demeanor is a little different, but he could do it.
What about Bogut? No,
I don't know if it would work in the part, you know, for the move. Also, what would we be showing if Bogut's playing well? That's the thing. Like truly, like what
shot block? Great, just a lot, like eight blocks. I mean, he's had some like five block games, so. All right, we'll move it to the next question from Amber. We need a discussion on when Giannis gets traded here. What neighborhood will he live in San Francisco? And what bar, clubs, restaurants will he be a regular at? All right, let's start with neighborhood. What's Giannis's neighborhood of choice in San Francisco?
I think he lives with Steph, you know, wherever Steph. No, I think so. Giannis.
What was this? Giannis Steph has brothers.
Yeah, they're like it's like LeBron and AD, kind of thing.
Or is Giannis even in the city? Is Giannis a suburb guy? Is Giannis in San Mateo?
Because he has a kid, and he has not a girlfriend. But yeah, I think he's not going to be like KD, right? He's not going to be like a city guy, and not really going to be like Steph or sorry Clay, although Clay doesn't live in the city. But he might have a trap house in the city. So I think Giannis is probably going to be along the lines of, can you see the Marin? I don't know. Burlingame?
I think most of the guys are Peninsula over Marin. Peninsula? Over, like, yeah, I mean, well, let's just be real. Where's Chase Center? What's the comfortable? Like, you can find a nice town in every area of the Bay Area. Which one's got the most comfortable commute for you, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Like,
Here's what I think happens. I think Giannis, you know, he signs a long-term contract. Obviously, he's here for 5 years. So he wants to live in the city. So he lives in the Millennium Tower, right? He wants to live in the nice
Soma,
part of the city.
Little Soma for a minute.
Yep. He's going to enjoy that with his kid for a year or two. Then he's going to do like what all SF people do is they're just going to move away a little bit to Walnut Creek and, you know, maybe to
Menlo.
So I was gonna say like the other
side. Lakeham's gonna make him a neighbor. He's like, I'm not letting this one get away.
No, Lakeham's coming through every day to have dinner with Giannis. It's just very awkward.
Just bringing gift baskets.
So Giannis and Steph do seem pretty similar in that fashion, though. They seem kind of boring off the court. Just not much.
All right, where's your regular? There. The obvious choice is Kokari.
You think he likes souvlé? Souvla? Is it called souvla? Have you had souvla that?
Souvla is solid. But it's more your you take out option.
Greek Mediterranean. By the way, you mentioned San Mateo and Burlingame. Really good ones out there. There are some
restaurants all over the Bay Area. There's no way around that. But yeah,
that is why Giannis, you should come.
Could you see Giannis in the Marina? Could you see Giannis hitting up Chestnut Street?
I can see
Giannis going to Tipsy Pig with Grant.
I don't think Giannis makes it a habit to go out anywhere, but I think if he were to go to a club, it'd probably be I could see being like the Grand.
He is a fob.
Like the Grand. Yeah. Like the Grand. I can see it being like not Arena. Definitely not Arena. Like I've seen some guys at Temple, you know, maybe
this is why people listen to Light Years.
Maybe
downstairs at the Grand.
I meant downstairs at Temple, like, but
oh God, it's been a while since I've done either, but I assume it's not changed.
Sam's like underground, under the Grand, you know, they go to like 6 a.m. You could do some of those. I doubt actually Giannis might like Euro style EDM. He would do underground, kind of just him and Clay, although you're trading Clay, so it's just going to be Giannis. And who else is it going to be? Oh, man. It's going to be Giannis and Jordan Poole. It's going to be Giannis and Jordan Poole partying in the city come 2022. So there you go.
Yeah, we need Jordan Poole's shot to come around. all right, next one from Looney Stan account. Loyal listener. great guy. Which potential free agent trade draft pick are at the top of each front office coaching staff person's wish list besides Giannis and Stars, etc.? So I think what he's asking is like Steve Kerr. Who does Steve Kerr want more than anyone?
Yeah, we talked about that one, Marc Gasol.
Yeah, Kerr's Marc Gasol. Now, how about Bob Myers? Ooh, the pause.
Wow.
I feel like he's aligned on this one. I feel like Bob's more of a I want to get the right vets in here kind of guy than like undercover uncovering these random hidden gems type of GM.
I don't know if Bob Myers has someone he wants, right? I feel like he's more kind of offloading that, and his job is to figure out how to get guys, right? Like, I think it's more of like if Steve Kerr says, hey, Ben Simmons says he wants to come here, let's get him. I think it's Bob Myers' job to figure out how. I don't know if he is really deciding whether he wants him or not in terms of his power in the front office. I don't think he's coming out there and saying, we need to get Robert Covington and that opinion mattering. I don't know how much that matters. But
I do think Bob's a little more Steve's a little more ideological because he's the coach. Coaches are very like into their system and like thinking pure ideology. GM's more like, I'm just going to throw as much talent as you as I can and you figure it out.
Bob Myers is busy trying to tell Joe Lacob, listen, it is not realistic that we get Giannis this offseason. And Joe Lacob is yelling. Is yelling, I'm like, you know,
what do I pay you for?
I pay you $20 million a year. Get shit done, which is, you know, like, kind of true. But Lacob, who do you think, like, that's an interesting one? Like, who outside of Giannis, obviously. But Lacob, is it just, you know, you want a Dwight Howard? You want a, like, pretty much any star, right?
Lacob is just going down the list of biggest names. not even just names, but just, like, right. Biggest impact in general. So I would assume it would be someone like Gasol who would want. Actually, I think he'd want younger, to be honest. I think the biggest issue with Gasol is his age. That's it, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I could if he's a 1 to 2 year solution, deal with it after that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Lacob is probably just gonna be like, he's probably maybe not even thinking about it. He's just like, well, you want Marc Gasol, he wants to sign it. This is the salary tax. Like, this is how much we're gonna have to pay in taxes. How I don't know. Like, I think his thing is like Ben Simmons or bust, right? Or Giannis or bust. Like, that's all right. He really cares about.
Or he's
about.
Like, okay, if we can't get Giannis, can we get Embiid? Okay, if we can't get Embiid, can we get Ben Simmons? And just like moving down the list, right?
Yeah, yeah. Can we get Kat? Can we get this?
So, yeah, yeah. What about Ron Adams?
Oh, not D'Lo. Definitely not D'Lo. He probably loves Bob Covington. Probably loves him. Like quintessential.
I think he's probably into a little Jay Crowder too.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's probably into both Gasol and Ibaka. He'd be into both of them.
You know what? You know who Steve Kerr probably really likes? Ricky Rubio. He can't shoot. Great passer, defender.
Oh, I disagree. I don't think Kerr likes Rubio at all.
Really?
I think because the ball sticks with Rubio. Rubio loves to dribble around the circles, and Kerr wants the opposite.
As long as he can get Steph and Clay to run around in circles, I think he's okay with Ricky Rubio passing them the ball after that. But I think we'll end that question with I think Steve Kerr probably has the most power in terms of who gets to sign who in the front office.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Non-NBA related question. What are your guys' thoughts on the messy labor dispute between the MLB and the Players Association? What do you think this does for the A's and Giants short and long term?
I love this question.
We meant to get to this earlier, but we got sidetracked. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of jarring when you follow the NBA to see like a league that's, let's just say, less respectful of the Players Association. So I think I kind of buy Trevor Bauer threw out a theory today. He says they're just stalling because they want a 50 game season and they can't say that yet, because if they say, okay, we're ready to play, they'd have a 70 to 80 game season now. So they're just coming up with BS to make it 50 games. I don't even know what to think of a 50 game baseball season. And on the one hand, it'd be really fun to watch because it's like, it's just playoffs, you know? It's like, there's no like, oh, we had a bad series. It's like, oh, you know, each series is
Yeah. And by the way, a lot of this stems from, as I'm reading this, Ken Rosenthal has he wrote like a fucking 10,000 word article today, and I'm reading through it and I'm just like, and it's just pissing me off. And what's going on is essentially the owners are trying to pay less than what is the prorated amounts to the players, right?
Right.
Like 20 or 30% less, which is
they're
like,
trying to argue that the prorate only made sense if they had fans, and without it, they need to take a bigger cut. I don't know if I buy it.
All in all, it's a lot of like the owners trying to be cheap and the players holding firm and not it's classic negotiations, and I don't know much about labor negotiations. Maybe right. It's classic labor negotiations, but I think end of the day, a lot of it to me is like both fans of the NBA and the MLB are just sitting here. What are we doing? Right. A lot of it's just like, do you think, Sam, that any of your friends that don't follow this day by day really get what's going on?
I saw some friends yesterday that I haven't seen in a while at a socially distanced barbecue, and everyone just kind of like, so are they going to play? Are they not? You know, there's a lot of like,
right.
I'd like to watch it, but
right.
That's about 20
it. Games, 50 games, 70 games, you know,
100, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. 12. Whatever. Let me ask you this, because I was listening to our friend of the pod's guy in Middlecoff today, John Middlecoff and Guy Haberman, and they were arguing, hey, what would you rather have back, the NBA or the MLB? Now, this is an NBA podcast, so maybe that question kind of answers itself.
It's a little bias.
Yeah. But their argument is saying, like, with the NBA, it's kind of like, it's so much of guys might not play. We kind of already know what the season's going to be. And the season was kind of shitty, honestly.
Right.
And so with the MLB, it's kind of like at least things are still fresh. So I don't know. To me,
well, the NBA we're already down to. We know there's only five teams who are going to win the title, probably less, but let's say 5 to 6 max. Yeah. You know, you get the LA teams, you got the Bucks, you got the Sixers, maybe the Celtics, maybe Denver.
Raptors.
But that's even like a, you know, that's second tier. Baseball could be anyone at this point.
Not the Giants, believe me. Not the Giants.
I mean, the shortest season gets, maybe. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, Johnny Cueto has an amazing 50 games.
They had a hot run last season. So how about this? Let's end the podcast with this. What do you think if one league comes back, one out of the two, who's more likely to come back?
NBA. I think they need to complete their season. It's easier to scrap it if you don't start. So I think NBA is more likely, but I want to see them both come back in some capacity.
Yeah, give us something.
I want to get a second point. What do you think this does to the A's and Giants short and long term?
Oh, that's right. I'm going to take the Giants. You can take the A's.
I have opinions on both, but go for it.
Of course. Hot takes all around. The Giants, bad for the Giants, really bad. I think both short and long term. For the Giants, a lot of the next few years is about development. And a lot of it's like, you got to get these guys through the minor leagues. It's development. It's baseball.
They can't get the at-bats to develop if there's no at-bats to be had.
There's only so many virtual pitching machines you know, Elliot Ramos can take. He needs those at-bats to be an MLB player. Marco Luciano, who's a top 30 prospect, needs those at-bats. And it screws them over short and long term. And the thing with the Giants is you don't even know if these coaches are good or not. With the A's, at least you know they're good. We don't know with the Giants.
Well, that's the annoying part. The Giants redid everything, and it was kind of exciting to see what it is. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe they tweak it, all those things. But at this point, it's just a waiting game.
It's a waste of a seat. It's a waste of a year, almost.
At least for them, they're still trying to get rid of contracts. So, like, every, you know, Brandon Belt, and Crawford are, you know, they're not going to be here in 2 years. So it's just kind of running out the clock on guys who are, you know, of the last era, so to say, right? I think this hurts the A's a lot more because, one, we know they're not going to keep their guys. Two, it screws their ballpark, which gives you any hope at keeping anyone. But three, it's like they were set up in a position to compete for the next 2 to 3 years minimum. I mean, they're set up in a position to compete for the next like 8 years if they paid everyone, but like, forget that.
They can't even pay their
They're losing their best chance to kind of get something over. Like, I was excited to watch Lizardo this year more than anyone because he's dominant. He's really good. And, you know, it's just with the A's, it's always a short window. So, like, even though it's frustrating, the Giants' timeline's getting pushed back, like, they'll be fine. Farhan's good. He's going to keep finding guys. And
they have money.
We know they can at least afford to keep him. With the A's, it's kind of like you've lost a year.
That's a fair point. The long term, the Giants are going to be okay, even if it's elongated a season. With the A's, you kind of had a shot. It's kind of like the Warriors.
Like the A's will find new guys, but it's like they've kind of found a confluence of players who should have a shot. And who knows when the next confluence they'll find is. Right?
Well, this is the best A's team in how long?
Since the early 00s, since the Giambi. That's it. So it's like, yeah, I mean, you don't want to throw... You just watch it with the Giants. You don't want to throw away windows. I mean, watch it with the Warriors. Can you imagine if we had this happening in 2016 or something like that? Like, you don't, if there's one thing sports have taught us, it's windows are short. Even with the Niners, you kind of thought they were going to compete for a while with Harbaugh and then it just got snapped shut, right? You think it's going to last longer. You don't want to give away those years where you're in contention. Actually, this points to the Dodgers as the big loser because it's like, their core is getting older. They bring Mookie Betts and they're all in. And
I mean, you look at it too. I mean, by the way, love to hear that. But you kind of see, you kind of see what's going on with the, with LeBron and Kawhi hasn't said anything, but with LeBron where it's like, you know, with Giannis,
Kawhi feels the same way, by the way, I'm sure
he does, but like, you know, Giannis feels the same way, but he's also 25 and LeBron's 35 or 33, 34. Yeah, whatever
he's like, this might be my last. This might be the best opportunity I get.
It probably is. Like, it may maybe not, but it probably is.
You never know. Yeah.
Yeah, with LeBron. And it's like, do you blame him for wanting to hoop? I don't. It's like, if you can win a championship, you win a championship. There's no excuses for, I think Steve Kerr said, who was it today? It came out with a quote where it's like, look, if they win a championship, there's no asterisk. It's a championship. I think it was Steve Kerr that said that.
Yeah.
And I'd
agree with him because being on opposite side of it, it sucks. You know, history will place you properly over time. Everyone like micro is like this championship means more. You know, it's corny. Just win one.
although you know, a pandemic title, you know, we'll talk about that when it does happen. But like a pandemic title is a little bit different. That is a little bit like, I don't know, like Kyrie's not, that team sucks. But like, what if Dame doesn't? Actually, Dame, that team sucks too. All right, well, with that, I think we're
out of here.